The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
This ain't no Holiday Inn.
Steve and I rock without a doubt.
This is a Survivor know-it-alls, all right? Yes, that is right. Survivor know-it-alls are back after episode number 4 of Survivor Edge of Extinction. And give us the report, Stephen Fishback at 11.
Total freeze. I'm so disappointed. I'm really upset with this whole Rick Devens thing. I thought he was going to win. I thought Rick was going to win.
Yes, Rick Devens is out. Our top story at this hour. Rick Devens down.
Oh, I was supposed to do it. I was supposed to do the shtick. I wasn't sure.
I know you don't like improv. You've said for many years.
Well, you know, I'm just not good at it. I mean, I know that you think if you practice something, it makes you instantaneously good at it. But mm-hmm. I don't think if I practiced, I would be good at it.
I mean, you understand like how practice works, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You try something over and over again until you've learned from repeated failures to quit trying.
Yeah. All right. We've got a lot to discuss, or some things to discuss here. Hashtag RHAP as we discuss.
Not really a lot.
Not a ton. As we discuss Survivor at the Swap, an unusual swap at that, as we go from two tribes to three tribes. And we lose Rick here tonight in this fourth episode of Survivor. Hashtag RJP. Get your questions in. Got a lot of stuff coming up on the podcast. Carl Boudreau, it will be my guest on the podcast on Thursday. Very excited to talk to Brett LaBelle on our feedback show on Saturday. And then Mary Kwiatkowski will join me on This Week in Survivor. And of course, we'll get into the Wiggle Room with Jessica Lease sitting in for Josh Wiggler. So a jam-packed week of podcasts coming up from me. Steven, how are you?
Like I said, I'm devastated, Rob. I'm really upset. Like, Devens is, you know, let's be honest. This cast is not David versus Goliath levels, and Devens was one of the standouts.
Versus Wentworth.
Exactly. He has been a lot of fun. I really like his confessionals. He brings a lot of humor to every one of his interactions. He's just fun to watch. And I was a little bit heartbroken to see him. I mean, granted, he's not out of the game, but I don't have high hopes for him on
you don't think he's going to fare well on Ye Old Extinction Island?
No, I think we'll be saying farewell.
Yeah.
Farewell.
Yeah. I really think that we're going to see a lot of the same things over and over again, because we keep getting people from the former Manu tribe on Extinction Island. I feel like that the beginning of next week's episode is going to be a replay of the start of this episode, where it's going to be Reem and Keith, and they're like, "What? Rick, what are you doing here? Get out of here. We don't want you here. Get out." And it's like going to be like a hazing of the new people on the Extinction Island. It's a mean place.
I think it's really fun. It's basically what actually happens when people are voted out of the game, except now we get to watch it. You know, it's like I wrote about this in my blog a little bit, that, you know, one of the main reasons to not be voted out, you know, everyone wants to make the merge because it's this sign that you have done acceptably well in Survivor and you can tell all your friends about, you know, being on the show and not be embarrassed.
Makes you dateable.
But the other big reason you're dateable. The other big reason is that you don't have to live with the other pre-merge contestants, because the people who are voted out pre-merge are typically, you know, some of the more annoying people, you know, Rob. And to see all these people forced to live together and to heal, it's kind of cool. I really like it.
Okay. We'll see how it goes as we progress. Just a technical note. The Robin has a website. Site is down right now, apparently. Maybe it's the same thing that's knocking down Facebook and Instagram. All the big sites today are a little off. So I'm not sure exactly what happened there, but hopefully we get that back up to speed soon. Of course, if you're with us live, YouTube, Periscope, or Twitch to see a live episode of the Survivor Know-It-Alls. Okay, Stephen, I guess let's start with this tribal council. Really not a lot of intrigue going into this tribal council. I mean, Survivor, this is a case of sort of like damned if they do, damned if they don't. The Survivor does all that they can to have idols and tribe swaps to keep these tribal councils unpredictable. And to me, this was like a classic, like episode 5, episode 6 of a season with no swap, where a tribe has gone to like 4 or 5 tribal councils and it's down to like the core alliance of 5 that was in the tribe, and they have to vote off one of their own, and it's a big love fest.
Yeah, we're not here for the love fest. I was genuinely surprised that it was Devin's. I really thought Lauren was going home. I was almost like annoyed at how obvious it was that Lauren was going home. You know, they set up her sickness. It was you know, it just seemed to me like kind of both clearly about to happen and also clearly the wrong strategic move. And so I was, you know, the surprise of seeing Devin's go, I wasn't happy about it, but it made it better television for me.
Why do you feel like that's the wrong strategic move to get rid of Lauren?
I would be more, if I were in War Dog's position, I would be much more nervous about someone like Devin's at a swap than someone like Lauren at a swap. You know, Devin's is incredibly charming. He's incredibly magnetic. He obviously knows the game really well. He's very strategic. And so I would be concerned with him as kind of a smooth operator. I tweeted this, but I actually was really surprised that David wasn't a target. To me, he is the obvious target here.
Yeah, for whatever reason that Wentworth and David have not had this all-out war, and even though David has done a lot of maneuvering behind the scenes, he's done a good enough job to not let Kelly ever get wind of it, because this would have been a primo spot for Kelly to knock David out. We saw, you know, David had these opportunities to go after Kelly these last couple of episodes. This was the week that Kelly really had the opportunity to put David's head on a silver platter, and it doesn't seem like that is even something that she was thinking about. I want to go back to Devin's and where he ultimately went wrong, and you know, obviously, you know, tough draw here with the swap being the low person on the totem pole with 5 people from his original group. But in the same way I got on Chris last week of that, I thought that Chris missed the opportunity to take out Wentworth in the second episode. You know, Devin's and David Wright had the opportunity not only to take out Kelly in the second episode, but also in the third episode of the season. And I really feel like that had they taken the shot on Kelly Wentworth last week, that this would have been a different story for Devin's tonight.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. You know, they sort of consistently whittled away the people who were working with them or were willing to work with them. You know, Chris last week, Keith the week before. And I agree with you. You know, I think in the moment it seemed like an acceptable decision, although it kind of last, the Chris thing was a little bit suspect. But I agree. Like that's why you have to be a little bit greedy with the people who are going to work with you, because then otherwise you're in a position where like this.
Because I think that you can really argue both sides for David Wright, whether or not it's a good idea to get rid of Kelly Wentworth. But for the first time players, I think it's very cut and dry that it would have behooved them to get rid of Kelly Wentworth in the case of Chris back in the second episode. And ultimately in the case of Devin's, and even if David Wright says, I have cold feet, you know, I don't want to do it, that, you know, oh, this got too messy. See now that Chris ended up saying something to a War Dog, that for Devin's, I really think it would have helped him to get rid of Wentworth this past week, even if they ended up with, okay, now War Dog and Lauren are going to be mad, but they still would have had Chris in their group. And then obviously you don't know how the swap is going to go, but just to get a returning player out of the game, I think is going to be a good call for any of these first time players.
Do you think there's any part of them that thinks, you know, we're way down in the numbers. We need to keep the returning players because they maybe have inroads to the other returning players. You know, maybe we can leverage whatever relationships that David and Kelly have with Aubrey and Joe in order to, you know, find new alliances at a potential merge.
I don't know. I think that that's something that does not really ever work. I think that's something that people try to say. I mean, I think that we'll touch on this when we talk about the tribe swap. But, you know, I went back and listened to a lot of the interviews that I did with these returning players on the podcast. And I remember like Aubrey talking about that JT was trying to say that as a reason, hey, work with me, when they were on a tribe swap together, where JT was the only person left from his original tribe. I think it was Nuku when he was swapped with all people from that. Another example Gavin could have pointed to when Jeff asked if there was any sort of historical precedent for this type of swap. And for Aubrey, I think that she actually was. She said that was interesting to her. So I guess so. Couldn't hurt.
I think it helps. I mean, I think there's a lot of times when tribes come together and, you know, you see these kind of hodgepodge alliances that are a mix of, you know, original tribe and then sort of longstanding relationships. I mean, maybe you're right that it's not so much relationships from outside of the game. Although, you know, I think Spencer and Tasha in Cambodia certainly had a relationship from outside of the game that kind of drove. I mean, but I don't think it's crazy to think that Kelly and Joe would want to reconnect. You know, they were allies once before.
Yeah, maybe there's something there, but I don't think there's enough there in that, okay, we got to keep Kelly Wentworth around or we're going to get picked off, and then Kelly Wentworth can, you know, beg for our supper from Joe when we ultimately get to the merge.
I don't know though, but if you're them and you're now down, you know, 3-4 people against a 9-person tribe.
Now, steer into it, Steven. We're in intentional Matt Singh territory.
Yeah, it's nice in theory, and it probably is pretty good in practice. But when you're actually living it, you know, it's scary. It's scary to think we're gonna join up with this group. There's just a few of us. You know, it does always seem to work out, but like, you know, when you're there and there's three of you and there's six of them or whatever, I'm obviously projecting.
Yeah.
You think like we're done. Like, hey, we have no way.
This, speaking of intentional Matt Singh, this group, much like Denise Stapley was back in Survivor Philippines, this group so far 4-for-4 on tribal councils. They've been to every single one, this group.
Well, we haven't seen the real internal divisions here like we did with the original Matt Singh, where you had, you know, RC and Scoop in like really on the outs with that group. At the time we thought it was wrong for them to turn on Scoopin, but looking back, it seems like maybe not a bad idea.
Well, that was a different group. Matt Singh was the Malcolm and Denise group that I believe that was Tandang.
I'm sorry. I guess I'm saying that like we haven't seen the rival, like the rifts like we did with Tandang. That was my point.
Yeah.
Like, yes, you have Joe and Aubrey who are on the outs a little bit, but Tandang, you know, the big tribe that imploded, felt like, seemed like a tribe that like needed to work through some of its issues in a way that I don't necessarily feel for whatever they're called, common.
So if this group goes to another tribal council, Lesu goes to another tribal council, is David Wright getting voted out next week, Steven?
I don't think so. Let me ask you a question. I don't mean to ask you to answer a question with a question. Are you surprised that, did you think there was any chance they would turn on War Dog?
Well, I did think that's the classic, one of my favorites, why don't we just vote out the swing vote? That's a classic move. And, I was like, oh, War Dog is overplaying this big time. When I was like, did War Dog just ask for 15, 20 minutes of War Dog time to think this over? Like that's a really, really bad move. Right. Right.
Did you invent this? I think, are you the first person to do that?
Who remembers that stuff?
Are you allowed to call your own moves classic? I'm here to call your moves classic. You know, let me do that.
Look, it's in, you know, that What I like to think about in the game of Survivor, it's like, you know, it doesn't always have to be A or B. Like, sometimes you can order off the menu. And yeah. When you have the choice between two people and somebody is like, why not this guy? How about this guy? How about he's giving us a reason. But I think that Wardog, you know, is so in with Wentworth at this point. I think that I don't know how much it was in doubt.
I think you, but you are not. Now, I have been saying for a while that Wardog is, you know, a strong strategic player. Have you come around? Last week, you were contesting that.
Well, what are you seeing that makes him such a strong strategic player?
I'm saying that every one of the past three votes has been like almost like entirely decided by him, where it hasn't been a vote by consensus at all.
But didn't you say that he made a terrible move last week to vote out Chris? And it, so much so that you said that it wasn't even Chris's fault that he got voted out because Wardog made such a bad move?
I said I didn't totally see the rationale because I trust Wardog.
like this was fine tonight. I mean, he's tighter with Lauren, but I don't know why it was like such a better move for Wardog than it was a better move for, you know, Lauren.
I think the fact that Wardog is in with everybody speaks to him. You know, the fact that they aren't turning on him, that like you've got these two groups, they could just both come together and say, hey, why don't we vote out this guy? But, you know, he has really put himself in.
Well, I think he's an asset in the challenges he's probably the strongest person in this group after they voted out Chris. So unless they're going to really go all in for who cares if we win any more challenges, it'd be tough to lose Wardog.
Why the Wardog hate, man?
There's no hate. It's more
Wardog skepticism. Also.
Yeah, I probably have some skepticism because, you know, I thought that he was, you know, in a good position, but I thought that he overplayed his hand to some degree. But, I thought it was going to go sideways for him. It ultimately didn't. But just because it didn't doesn't mean that, oh, my God, what a great job. But it wasn't also what a bad job. It was fine.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm very worried about David Wright here. And I'm wondering, you know, we didn't see anybody find the Lesu idol. I feel like that David Wright, even though he assumed Kelly Wentworth has it, he needs to get to stepping on, find that idol real quick.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that if that group does go to tribal council, he seems like the most obvious person to vote out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? Yeah. On the other hand, if you're Wardog, I guess you're thinking merge decently soon, right? How many? I don't know. Yeah, it's tough. Like
probably two more tribals.
Two more tribals. Yeah. So if you're Wardog and you're would you vote out David there? Because then you know that you're getting voted out next.
If they go to the tribal council in episode 5.
Yeah. They go to 5 and 6. If you're saying two more tribal, yeah, probably 5 and 6.
I don't know if you have a choice. What are you going to do? Are you going to vote with David and force a 2-2 tie? You know, I think you have no other choice other than to vote out David at this next tribal council. And then, it may well be him next, or it may be, you know, maybe he feels like he's tight enough with Kelly that maybe he might be able to get her to knock out Lauren. I want to actually talk about David's vote real quick. We saw David talk tonight about in his pitch to Wardog about, hey, my brand is loyalty. He ends up voting with Devins. I think they told Rick that he was going to be the person who was going to go home tonight. I think that Jeff's opening question to him was, you know, Rick talking about, you know, how this may be his last tribal council. I think he was not blindsided. I think he sort of thought that this was probably a likelihood. David Wright, though, does not end up voting out Devins. What do you think of that?
I did not have that read. I was legitimately, David looked legitimately surprised and upset. It wasn't like, see ya. You know, I'm really sorry.
No, she's worried about Wendy.
He looked legitimately upset, I thought. So I thought that it was genuine. That's funny. I had a totally different read. I thought that, you know, they were it wouldn't make sense for him to vote. I mean, I guess he did promise Rick he wasn't going to vote.
No, I think it makes total sense because David Wright, that he's really trying to like, hey, my brand is loyalty. I'm loyal to Rick. And if he's going down, I can't vote against my friend. That he's almost taking a page out of Big Wendy's book of like, you can't like you guys can vote out Rick, but I have to, you know, I'm proving to people like that I'm not a sneaky guy. I am a loyal person.
But weren't like, wasn't he among the people who was saying what a, like a crazy decision that was for Wendy in the episode one? I don't think he's like learning his strategy from Wendy about
obviously he's not learning strategy from Wendy, but I think that he's really trying to use it as a point to reinforce, you know, my brand is loyalty. Look how loyal of a person I am against maybe the perception that people think he's kind of a shifty guy.
No, I get that idea, and I certainly understand why he said it about himself. And he does have, right, the bone. He's, you know, he played that idol, for Jessica. He certainly has got the resume to back it up. But that was not my read. I thought he was genuinely surprised. I would actually be somewhat surprised if he, knowing Rick was going home, still voted against Lauren, because, like, what a senseless way to antagonize Lauren.
Mm-hmm. I guess we'll have to see in the secret scene or if anything we find out after the fact about that to see what David's actual thoughts on it. Now, I do have to, point something out, David Wright. David Wright said, this is the most incredible tribal council he's ever been to. Fact, this is not the most incredible tribal council that David Wright has ever been to. Absolutely not. Come on. Stop it, everybody.
Well, did he say incredible?
I believe incredible was the word he used. David Wright went to a tribal council that was a 5-5 split. Chat can verify this.
I'm pretty sure it's special.
Well, I'll check my notes.
Maybe he just means emotionally. You know, maybe he doesn't mean, you know, I don't think he was thinking the idols were going to come flying out.
I think he said this is the most emotional and incredible.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I could think of three off the top of my head that are probably more incredible from Millennials versus Gen X. So Nam in the chat is incredibly boring. Yeah. Okay. So not every tribal can be winners, but there were some other big things to talk about. Let's start with the swap, Stephen. Super interesting in terms of the way that we have this Kama tribe with a full contingent of 9 players gets broken up into a one tribe completely of former Kama, and then another tribe of 4 Kama plus Big Wendy and the chickens at Manu.
Yeah, really couldn't. I mean, Big Wendy, I don't want to say she necessarily got lucky, because I don't see why anyone would vote her out at this point. I mean, obviously, when she's actively sabotaging their food supply, like, that's not great. But, you know, it definitely doesn't seem like you would waste a vote. No offense to Big Wendy, that you would spend your vote on her.
How so? So if this group Manu went to tribal council, do you think it'd be a waste to take out Wendy?
I do not think that they would vote her out. I mean, you know, we were certainly talking.
Oh, God.
What?
No, I have a lot to say about this, but finish.
Okay. I just think that, like we were talking about with Tending, you know, this is, when groups don't go to tribal council, you spend so long in your head plotting and thinking of all like the big moves you want to pull off and all the blind sides and your alliances. Like, Wendy is not part of that calculation at all for them. And it's not like she's some super threat from the Manu tribe that they have to get rid of. I think that they're just going to be like, whatever, like, let's pull her into our schemes and try to make her, you know, a passive participant in our games.
Okay, Stephen, you are exactly where the conventional wisdom is on this, that, hey, Big Wendy, she's not a threat. Don't vote her out. And because of that, because she's doing everything wrong, even Wendy herself has complete confidence in what, like, everything I'm doing is working. It's all working for me. That the thing about Survivor now is that everybody sees this person who's, you know, screwing up and not a threat to anybody and saying like, hey, it's a waste of a vote to get rid of that person. And guess what? Big Wendy is going to the final 3. Somebody's going to win the fire making challenge and they are taking her. And that's going to be a spot in the final 3. That's not you, because you left Big Wendy in the game the whole time. So come around 180 degrees and you vote Big Wendy out of the game because she is a huge threat, because she is a pawn on this chessboard. And what happens to the pawns? That they are a huge threat.
What happens to the positive there? That was my no, I totally agree with you. I mean, especially if you're like a big player, someone like that is taking up your spot. I mean, that was sort of our thinking with Abby. Like,
she's never getting voted out. She gets two more votes. If she gets two more weeks on this show, she's in the final three.
Oh yeah, no, I agree. Or like four or five, and like then at that point someone's like, we have to vote her out at this point. But I definitely think she's going deep. But I agree with you, like, you want to get that person out now, and I think that would be a mistake for the Numenu tribe to not vote her out. I don't think they will.
And she's in a very good spot, because she's in sort of like this Shambo spot where she's the one person, and Shambo in a lot of ways, that she's the one person, she hates her old tribe. She's like, hey, I'll vote against them. I hate those guys. And she's given up all of the information. So now it's super tempting to keep Big Wendy around. And let me just say, Big Wendy is incredible television. I'm not saying that I have any sort of disdain for Big Wendy. I want her voted out. But I'm saying it's a mistake to not vote Big Wendy out, because she is going to be a thorn in people's sides for the entire season as long as they keep her around in the game. And also, Big Wendy and the chickens, it's the storyline that my children are the most invested in the history of following Survivor over, you know, the last year that they could comprehend that Survivor is a thing.
Yeah, no, I agree. I totally agree. And she's great TV. She's super fun to watch. She's basically, I mean, her game is, I have nothing left to lose. I can do anything I want. And, you know, I'm already assuming I'm going to get voted out, and therefore I will just do anything. And, you know, then as a result, she's not going to get voted out. It really is a great strategy. I mean, this was sort of Richard Hatch's idea in All Stars of, like, I'm such a big target that, like, my strategy will be to have no strategy. I think Wendy is actually going to pull off what Hatch tried to do.
I think you're putting too fine of a point on what he was trying to do there.
Well, those were his confessionals. I didn't.
Yeah.
I
didn't. All right.
Man, you really don't like Hatch and War Dog. You got some thing.
No, I just, you know, anybody could listen to the Illusion Strategy chapter 8 to get my full breakdown on everything going on there, Steven. But I want to talk about Ron Clark, and boy, Ron Clark might be the most fun person to watch on this whole season.
Yeah, he's fun. I mean, that scene was really, really fun.
He's such a gamer. I love Ron Clark. And then how fun was that whole thing, that whole sequence tonight, where then, you know, Joe, we have the whole setup from Joe Anglim, new Joe. He's a new Joe playing a different game, and he's going to make these relationships with people. And he's talking to Ron, I'm loving Ron Clark, but I feel like that his poker face probably could use some work, because he had kind of like a stink face on the whole time Joe was talking. But then we cut to Ron telling us that that Joe totally was buying what I was saying, and 20 minutes ago I told Julia go through Joe's bag. And then we get the genius style flashback. Cue the extreme ways, Steven.
Yeah, second flashback I think they've ever done. Last season they did one with Dan finding his first idol.
This was much better.
Oh yeah, for sure. That was cool too, though, when they were all looking and then Dan's like, but actually I've already got it. But this was so great because, you know, like you said, they set up a totally different narrative. They set up this narrative of, like, Joe is creating alliances, this new player, and he's going to have this new ally. And then we're going to get Ron's thoughts about what he really thinks of Joe. And then the whole thing is a sham. The whole thing is a fraud. It really was great.
Yeah. So that's going to be very fun to watch. Do you think, is Joe Anglim going to make the merge, Steven?
Oh, yeah. Joe is definitely making the
merge. Yeah, they're not going to the tribal council.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think Joe will go to tribal council before the merge.
Yeah.
You know, he's been go ahead.
Well, here's where things are going to be, you know, we can sort of like try to predict how this is going to go. Next week, 1 week from tonight, double episode coming up. And so my sort of like conventional wisdom says, episode 5 could be cut and dry. Because the first hour might be a snoozer.
Yeah.
Maybe they're saying like, okay, well, the Devon's tribal was you know, not super exciting. And then maybe if we have another boring tribal council, like, then
like put it in a double episode.
Maybe let's just, you know, sort of like burn through this one to get to the second hour, which might be something.
Yeah, I you're probably right. You're probably right.
So I don't know. I mean, I guess it could be maybe that, you know, you get two snoozers and so let's just get them, you know, let's just get to the merge as quick as we can. But double episode coming up next week. So we'll see how it's going to break down.
Yeah, we will.
Okay.
We will see it next week. We'll see how it's going to break down
next week. We'll see it. Anything else you want to talk about from the episode before we start to bring into these questions?
What are you feeling about Edge of Extinction, Rob? Are you now? Gordon Holmes was saying, you know, we have two segments on Edge of Extinction, but we don't get to hear what Gavin, Julie, Julia, et cetera, feel. What's your take on this whole breakdown?
About the why are we not getting more confessionals for players in the game?
Would you rather have less Edge of Extinction and more confessionals, or the opposite?
I mean, I would rather have, I would like to have the best stuff. So if we have like amazing confessionals, you're damn right. I want to see them. I want to see all of the great confessionals. But if it's just sort of like, you know, run of the mill confessionals, if I could, if it be an old man on a soapbox, you know, back in my day, I don't think the survivors like had like counted confessionals of like a baseball card of like, did you see? I only had two confessionals this week. I think that people are getting too granular with this. Did you have a good experience? Are you having fun? Did you get voted out? Okay, you know, Jess, this is a journey. Like, don't be like so nitpicking the confessional count every week.
I don't know. I think if you're on the, I mean, listen, I agree with you. I do not care. Like, if the producers don't think I need to see someone's confessional, I'm good. I trust them. I trust them on this. This is literally their job. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're a player and you're not on the TV at all, and you have your big viewing party and you invite all your friends over and you're like, I think that's me. Right.
And I get it if, like, in the case of, like, you know, and I talked about this with Allison last season, where there were votes that she was involved in and she felt like that they did not show her side of the story. But for people that aren't going to tribal council, what are you going to do? It's a 42-minute show. You know, it would be a worse show to just like here's a million confessionals of so that's not what the show is. That you hope they're giving you the best stuff, and you know, when these players are more involved, it's been a weird season. The same people have gone to tribal council four times in a row. That's what it is. It's not like that. Like both tribes are going to tribal council. We're only hearing from certain people. There's half the cast hasn't had to go to a tribal council yet.
Yeah, and we've got enough. We know sort of where they all are.
Yeah,
sort of.
And you have the Edge of Extinction, and then on top of that, you have these four returning players. And why are these? Why did Survivor pick these players to be returnees? That in the case of many of them, this is their, you know, second, third time out there. They're good at giving confessionals. They know what the producers want. So when players come back to Survivor, they've been through this. It's day 9, day 10. This is only players in their second and third interview. Maybe they're not as succinct and as punchy as some of these returning players. So I don't like to get into, you know, how many confessionals does this person have?
By the way, I thought David was a really good confessional giver in his first season, but this season he's stellar. He's so good. Like, yeah. He's good at it
because he's gone through it. He's watched the whole season back. It's like, oh, okay, this is what I have to, you know. So there's a, you know, being comfortable in front of the camera. There's a lot of factors.
I think, though, like, in terms of, like, his clarity, I don't know. He's like all time. I really liked him in the first season, but I think he now may have, like, you know, transcended to one of the all. I mean, no one is Cochran level great at confessional.
Obviously not.
I mean, come on, he's got to be the best. He's got to be the king.
Let's go back to David Wright, Stephen. what is it that David Wright is doing that he's so funny? He's so wise.
He's not even that funny. He's just like very thoughtful. He's very clear. He's not even being particularly funny, right? Would you say he's like super funny? I wouldn't say that necessarily.
That he doesn't have a lot of like haha jokes in his confessionals.
Yeah.
But he's super descriptive about the game. He's one of the reasons why he's great on the podcast where he's
really good at describing the game, but he also has like a lot of emotional generosity. He's clearly able to see what other people are doing. He's able to articulate his own strategies and why he may or may not pursue them. This is great.
Okay. All right. We are going to get to your questions here tonight live with Stephen Fishbeck. By the way, where are you right now?
I'm in New York.
Brooklyn, okay. New York.
Brooklyn, New York. Sorry about the poor quality. I need to improve the setup here.
No, you're fine. I think that people were probably like, hey, Steven's in a new location. I wonder where he is.
I've been here before. They've seen these books.
You didn't have the room this way when you used to podcast from there.
Oh, you're right. I had the desk turned around. I've turned around the desk. You're okay. Absolutely right.
All right. Very observant. So,
all right, John wants to know.
Stephen. That was a tease. We're gonna get to the questions. You're racing through. I need to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the Survivor Know-It-Alls, and those are our friends at AIS, the Auto Insurance Specialist. They're a brand new sponsor to the podcast, and the Know-It-Alls is a perfect setting for them because that you can be a lot smarter about your car insurance with AIS, because what they do is they make sure that you are getting the best rate on your auto insurance. And so they have a lot of different ways that you can do it, either by phone or on their website. You just put in all your information and they make sure that you are getting the lowest car insurance cost that you want with the coverage that you're looking for. I worked very closely with AIS. I talked to Mike over at AIS recently. We went through the whole process. It only takes a couple of minutes, and they'll tell you if what you have already is the best price for your auto insurance, or if there's another carrier that can give you an even lower cost. And then if you have the best, you get to feel smart. It's like, hey, I'm already the best. I'm awesome. And if not, then you can switch to another carrier and then feel a lot better. And the thing is about your car insurance is that these insurance companies, very sneaky a la Kelly Wentworth, they slowly like raise your rates. You might have gotten like a good rate when you first signed up, but every month you're like a frog in boiling water. They keep like turning up the heat on you. So go ahead and give them a call. Call 1-800-777-4AIS or go to AISinsurance.com/Rob. It's the easiest thing you're going to do today. That's at AISinsurance.com. They're the auto insurance specialist, and they've got the smart quote technology to shop the rates of dozens of insurance carriers in just a few seconds. That's AISinsurance.com/Rob. Okay, Stephen, let's get to the questions tonight. All right, start us off with John.
John wants to know if Lesu is the Browns.
Oh, perfect question for Stephen.
Yeah, I'll take this one. Then who are Manu and Kama? Tell me, what sport are the Browns?
Yes, they are a basketball team, Stephen.
Manu Kama is the Lakers.
Yes. How's that? Perfect. Nailed it. Okay. Yes. All right. Let's go.
The Knicks.
That's right. Okay. How about let's give Stephen this one from Lorenzo.
All right, Lorenzo wants to know, why does the merge loyalty even matter for them? Wendy already hates the tribe, so they'll be down 8-4 in the best case. So doesn't it make sense to just disband the foursome and target David or Wentworth as the big threats? What do you think, Rob?
So Lorenzo's saying, why not just have the new players all band together? Why don't we just take out Wentworth or take out David Wright? Is that what the thought is there?
That's right.
I think that Lauren is not going to get rid of Kelly. You know, Devin's isn't going to get rid of Rick. So it doesn't seem like that there was a all new player. Like if this was Kama at that, like in that same sort of configuration, yeah, three new players probably would have voted out, you know, Aubrey or Joe. But, you know, both David and Kelly have, you know, gotten their hooks into some of these new players.
I disagree with the premise that loyalty doesn't matter in a small group. I think we see again and again that loyalty is exactly what matters most in these small groups. Like you, the reason for the intentional motzing is that A, your tribe gets really good at tribal council, but B, you also develop super tight bonds from voting together and planning together over, you know, many, many weeks. So then when you go and you like see this other tribe that does not have the experience of tribal and also doesn't have those sort of proven tested bonds, they kind of fall apart in comparison to your loyalty. And it's one thing we see again and again, season after season, it's that the group that is the most close-knit and the most loyal to each other almost always makes it to the end and win.
Yep. The tightest, largest group is always the most successful.
Not even always the largest.
Well, whatever is the, if sometimes the largest is two, sometimes the largest is three, but it's whatever's the tightest, largest.
The largest, tightest group then.
Okay. Yeah. Does it have to be largest, tightest? It can't be tightest, largest.
I don't know. Let's spend some time.
Yes. And a correction, the chat is on me. I said that Devin's isn't going to get rid of Rick. Devin's wasn't going to get rid of David. Okay.
All right. Devin's is Rick.
Yeah. Got it. Thank you, chat. Thank you. Good fact check. Okay. James says, so do you guys think that Rick deserved to go tonight, or should a Lesu tribe have gotten rid of Lauren due to her condition and throwing up all the time? If anything, they should have got rid of Lauren for the I miss my parents.
What? Why can't she miss her parents?
That's one of my Survivor pet peeves. The people that go
on
Survivor.
You're so hard-hearted.
You know,
be a little, you know, generous.
You know, I miss my wife. I miss my husband. I miss my kids. All fine. I miss my parents. Come on. You go away to college and
home. Yeah.
You know, I was 24 when I played Survivor. I missed my parents and I wasn't, you know, maybe her parents are really awesome.
I miss my parents now. I mean, you know, I would love to give them a call.
You need to run maybe and go call them.
Maybe I will. After.
Can you finish the show?
Yeah, after we're done though, I'm giving them a call.
Yeah. It was a red herring. I don't know what's going on with her health, but she seemed fine by the challenge.
I also, you know, just because someone is sick is not a good reason to vote them off. I mean, she performed well. Obviously this is a subject near and dear to my heart. But she was, you know, she was puking a little bit and she wasn't eating. Hey, she's not eating. That's awesome. More food for you. Why would you
make up your mind, people? Oh, Wendy voted. We got to vote her out. She doesn't want us to eat the chickens. Oh, Lauren's not eating. Vote her out. What are they like? You go to, go home and visit, Lauren's parents, like eat. Come on, you guys. All right. Let's go to Christian.
All right. Christian wants to know, does Ron not know that people don't hide the idol in their bag that much anymore? This was smart.
This was smart because that it was a tribe swap and that the one time that somebody was going to have their idol in their bag was going to be at the tribe swap because they all probably had a heads up that it was going to be make sure you have your stuff. And that Joe, if he did have an idol, would have had it in his bag at that moment.
Yes, that's a really good point. And when I did not think of, I also had the immediate instinct, like, why, you know, you don't know, maybe he buried it. But that is a great point that right after the swap, he has to have it in his bag or he will not have it at all.
Okay.
Although they went back to Kama, didn't they?
They did. But Joe didn't know where. Yeah.
He would have put it in his.
He could have gone. He could have gone anywhere. Okay. This is a question from Amanda. I like how all the reactions to the Edge of Extinction shows have been different. Rick's quiet, determined walk gave me chills. Oh, big Devin stan.
I love that too. I thought that was so cool. You know, we had like Keith's total freak out, like Chris, I'm gonna like screw those guys. But I kind of got chills too when like Devin's just like looks at the sign, pivots and picks up the torch and walks off. I thought that was real, real cool.
Yeah. I mean, it should be a no brainer. Like if it was really like, by the way, you can have a chance at the game, but you will suffer. There's nothing there. It is brutal. Like maybe people are like, let me think about it for a second. Like this should be a like, hey, go this way to get have a chance to get back in the game.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I'm in Fiji. What am I going to do? Go home?
Well, Devin said he was thinking about that burger.
Yeah. Oh, you know, well, I miss my friends.
Yeah, parents.
You know, that, giving different reasons. Okay. All right. Steven, what about Barack?
Barack Cheek wants to know, can we get a current ranking of who is the best?
Oh, no.
Why not? Why you refuse to rank? Who is the best shot of making it off Extinction and who you most want to see?
Okay. Let me tell Brock. This what? Is very arbitrary and very reductive.
I totally disagree with you, Rob, and I'm offended. This podcast is about being arbitrary and reductive. That's why we're here.
Yes, finally. Okay, I thought you were going to get mad. I was trying to be the heavy on Brock.
Well, I think that, you know, it's different to be like, who's playing a better game between these two entirely equivalent people who the jury can't even choose between, you know, versus can we get a current ranking?
I mean,
of who-
each person on the jury was able to actually pick a person.
Yeah. But as a whole, the jury was not.
I guess so. As a consensus of 10 people that they were in a deadlock. Okay. All right. Who has the best chance of making it off Extinction?
I mean, based on assuming it's something physical, it's probably Chris.
Yeah, but who knows what it is? Like, who knows what the challenge is going to be? I mean, that we don't know how many people there's going to be there before somebody gets a chance to get back in. We're assuming like 6 or 7 people. I imagine you think it will be some sort of like endurance competition. Is it going to be like, hey, you know, everybody like up on the pole and then whoever stays up the longest?
Yeah, it could be something like that. I mean, and you know, someone like Chris, who's got a lot of muscle, like he's not going to do well in a total calorie deprivation environment. I actually really like the thing they did in Pearl Island. I mean, I was not a fan of the Outcast twist at the time that I watched it, which was like 2008.
That was on the Survivor Wiki, right?
I read about it on the Wiki.
Yeah.
I, though, did like the mechanic for how they brought people back, which was the Outcasts had to win a challenge and then they voted. I thought that was kind of cool.
Okay, so you would like to see that the Edge of Extinction people take on the players in the game for the opportunity to get back in and then vote somebody in from the Edge of Extinction.
I thought that was a really fun mechanic.
Yeah.
And I'm not skeptical that it will happen.
I think that would actually be really good. And I think that, you know, that we're seeing the camp life here at the Edge of Extinction for the first time. And if that was the case, then I think that would be a cool way to do it. And I feel like that, you know, interesting also, they are provided with a Hawaiian sling also. That I think that we did not know that they were going to have that. We thought it was just going to be rice. We know that Jeff likes to see the survivors provide for themselves. So I guess it makes sense that there would be a Hawaiian sling on the Edge of Extinction.
If there were a vote, could Reem get back in the game?
I don't think so.
Keith is voting for Reem.
I guess they'll vote for each other. They're like the skinny Ryan and Lil of our day.
Yeah, right. And Lil made it to the end.
Well, the story is that the people that wanted to go on the pre-jury trip allegedly all said, like, well, let's just go on the trip and we'll send Lil back into the game.
Is this?
I haven't canon? Heard that.
No, I've never.
I believe that's the urban legend of you know how that
you would know. You were like in the mix at that point in time.
That's not how I heard it. I don't know. You'd have to ask somebody. Maybe if somebody knows that story for true, that might just be telephone game. I think that's what I've heard.
Literally, you like hanging out with those people when that happened. You must wait, know.
Who was I hanging out with?
I don't know,
like Skinny Ryan.
Survivor 7. I don't know. Like the Sean. Wasn't there someone named Sean?
Well, I'll ask my wife. I'll see which if she has the story on it. Let's take a question from Desmond. If you were Devin, what would have been your sales pitch to the War Dog?
Interesting. That's a tough one. That's a really good one. That's a good question. You know that War Dog has typically sided with Wentworth. You know that you are a very likely contender. Do you turn on David? I mean, I don't know. It's a really good question. Like, how do you target? Maybe you like pledge loyalty to the War Dog. I don't know. What do you think, Rob? That's a
hey,
tough one.
War Dog. They're making a girls' alliance. It's a girls' alliance, War Dog. You're not gonna. Nice. They're gonna get rid of you. Girls' alliance. It's a girls' alliance. Yeah. Oh my god! Girls I alliance. Didn't think of that.
That's actually not a terrible one because there is a. Wentworth has the history of being in a women's alliance, and it has like this disproportionate terror effect on so many players in this like crazy way. Whereas like there have been so many more people voted out for fear of a women's alliance than there have actually been women's alliances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, it's not a bad yeah. one. Put the fear
really
of
good,
yeah. Girls Alliance. It's happening. Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Why was Kama so mad that Chris got voted out tonight, Stephen?
I don't think they were mad. I think they were just surprised.
Well, they were like it's an insult to the game that they voted Chris out.
No,
Lauren was like, all right, man, you guys don't know. You guys weren't on our beach, so you guys don't know anything about what's going on.
You see so little of the other tribe. You know, you see them at challenges. You don't really have any real you don't speak to them. You see one person who's like the anchor in the challenges and you see that person get voted out. It's always a little bit shocking. But you know, they keep losing. So why not? Why not vote them out?
Okay. All right. Yeah. Let's take this question. Stephen, what's one from Joanna?
Joanna wants to know, are we 100% sure Ream isn't a CBS plant to haze contestants as they arrive on Extinction Island?
Screw you, dude.
What? I'm not a plant.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I'm excited for you to have your Ream impression perfected by the time she's in final tribal, giving her final tribal.
Yeah. I was on Extinction Island for 38 days. Okay. Yeah. All right. I love Ream. I love Ream. I'm not as down on Extinction Island because I like having all these people still around.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's really fun. I like seeing I think it's cool too. I really like seeing like Chris wrestle with, his idea of perfection and failure. It's like interesting to see these people like dealing with it and, you know, dealing with getting voted out. Like what's like the one part of Survivor we haven't really seen. Now we've had like the Ponderosa video. Mm-hmm. So like that's been there, but like we haven't really seen it on the show.
Did you think that Keith might tap out tonight, Stephen?
Yeah, it sure looked like it. But then Ream was there, you know, she was right there bolstering him.
She was there to make sure that he was not going to give up. But he's looking at it. I think he's got to be number one on the raise the sail rankings.
Yeah, I think so. I think of these four contestants, if someone taps out, that's definitely going to be Keith.
Okay. All right. This is from Jennifer. What are your thoughts on the Lesu men saying Lauren is weak after her challenge performance? I don't have their exact quotes. I think they were saying that she's not eating.
Yeah, I think they were like concerned and they said maybe she's a liability because she's not eating and she's got to stop eating. I mean, it seemed like more long-term concern than immediately. And I also really think that they were just like looking for a reason. You know, like they had to like, they were stretching to find some rationale.
Challenge was great tonight. The immunity challenge was really great.
Oh my God. It
might have been a snoozer had it not started raining. I think the rain, they should only do that challenge in the rain.
Yeah, or they should bring in like a rain machine.
This is one from DK. Do you think that Lauren shared that she had an idol and was told by Kelly and Wardog not to use it based off the little look Wardog gave Lauren when she didn't use it? Yeah, that is possible also that Lauren was like, hey, I have the idol. I've got the idol. So like it may be even to Wardog of like, hey, like you can vote for me, but I have the idol.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, it does seem like we learn after the fact that many more people always know about these idols and advantages than we are aware of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the kind of thing that, you know, comes out after the season of like, oh, I actually knew about that. We all knew about this. So, you know, hard. Right. You can't tell. Maybe the secret scenes can give us some of that information. Let's do one or two more questions here with Steven. It's a fellow Steven.
No. Yes. Great. With a PH as well. Steven Johnson wants to know. So if someone goes to Extinction Island with an idol, does it lose its power? What do you think, Rob?
So my guess is yes. I think it would. I think that if you get voted out of the game with an idol, you don't get to take it to Extinction. And only my only sort of like precedent on this is in Survivor South Pacific when Ozzy had the idol. Remember, I'm sure you do because it happened with Cochran that Ozzy gave his idol to Cochran to hold. And then because he was going to get voted out and go to Redemption Island, and then Cochran had to be in charge of the idol while Ozzy was away.
But he gave it to him to hold. Did he have to give it to him to hold? I don't remember that.
I don't know. I mean, if Ozzy could have taken it with him to Redemption Island, you would think that Ozzy would check that out before he just gave his idol to Cochran.
But he sort of said it was like a tribe idol.
I don't know. We'll find out maybe this season if anybody gets voted out with an idol.
I would think that they would let them take it. I mean, yeah, why not? I guess they want more idols in the game. They don't want idols just sitting at Extinction Island. So maybe the move is to
Give them a chance to hide it again. I mean, then if the idol comes back into the game, I don't know. My guess is that it's null and void once it leaves the game.
Yeah, it's not a terrible guess.
Okay. All right. Let's do one more question here if we have one, Scott. What about this question from Ashley?
All right. Ashley wants to know, did Joe and Kelly do this immunity challenge in Second Chances? It looked very familiar. If not the whole thing, the puzzle for sure is the same. Actually, you are almost right. We did do this immunity challenge. The puzzle was not the same. So the immunity challenge was the same except for the puzzle.
Okay. At what point in the game did you guys do this challenge?
I believe it was pre-merge. I think it was like I remember it as being our first challenge. It was not, obviously. I think it was our second or third challenge. Savage. You know, I think it was our second or third challenge.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then
it must have been the second challenge. Must have been the second challenge. Yeah.
Steve, any thoughts on this from the Bachelorette? Why don't they solve that puzzle on the ground? Does production tell them they have to use that frame?
I think the frame is easier than you're like looking at it right side up, you know?
Yeah. Cause it's gotta like hold those pieces in place. They probably go in a certain way. And, so I think that, you know, in terms of like from a visual standpoint, I think that they probably want them to, and I think it's also probably better.
Yeah. They might ask them to. You're right. You're right. And Joe, by the way, also won that challenge in our season and, you know, Kelly lost it. So, the history repeats itself. Is it unfair to have someone do, not that it should be fair, is it unfair to have someone do a challenge they've already done?
I mean, Aubrey did a challenge that she has already done. I think that you sort of like it's a reason to that the returning player says, hey, I know how to like do some of these challenges, have some expertise. So I think it's you know, all fair.
We have a clarification from A. Scott Falk on Twitter.
Yes.
I paused last episode to read Aubrey's idol clue. It says idol is not valid once voted off. Interesting.
Hmm. Well, that's a big clue. That's a big hint.
That's a huge clue. That is a huge hint if the clue says that. Idol is not valid once voted off. That's crazy. You're right. Like, that would be a huge hint.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe they're like, I can't stand up and flip the idol to somebody else. Like, hey, I'm voted out, Steve, and you take this. It didn't bring me any luck. Hopefully it'll bring you some.
Right. But well, we, you know, it would be hard. I'm trying to think, like, if you were out there, if you would ever make the leap to think the voted off players are sitting around.
I wouldn't, because I'd say, no, oh no, they never do this. They hate the, but,
yes. Jeff has like really come out against the outcast twist as being a terrible idea.
Even the Redemption Island seasons that was introduced, you know, early on by the, you know, for, oh, Redemption Island duel is coming up and, you know, stuff like that. So at this point, I think that it would be really unprecedented to imagine that these people are coming back at the merge. So, it should make for some good reactions once we
I'm
get
really
to
that. Excited about okay. that. That's going to be really fun.
Steven, let's talk about some of those things that we have coming up. And it looks like that you have an update on the Paraphrase podcast that you talked to the author of the book, Haruk.
Hark. That's just one word. I mean, it is spelled, it's spread out over two lines. The book is Hark by Sam Lipsight. And Sam Lipsight has long been Sam Lipsight is probably one of the funniest writers writing today. His book, The Ask, was one of my favorite books of all time. And this is his new book, Hark, which is similarly hilarious. It follows this guy named Hark Mourner, who basically develops his own cult called Mental Archery, which is this kind of mix of mindfulness and yoga, you know, but deeply rooted in the mythology of archery. Hmm. And it's sort of about him, and it's about his, like, the adherence. And it's a really fun read. And Sam is a super funny and super insightful guy. So I interviewed him for Paraphrase, which you could check out at paraphrasepodcast.com.
Okay. All right. Good work there, Steven. All right. Let's talk about what else is coming up. Oh, Robin and Kiva need a podcast. So we're going to go back to mystery episode, Steven. What do you think what do you think it was, the mystery episode of Robin and Kiva need a podcast?
I mean, it could be anything. It's a mystery.
Do you have a guess? If you had to guess. I mean, you already listened to it, obviously.
Well, yeah.
So it'd be cheating. But if you had to guess.
And just about anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We actually read the book Hark and talked all about it. That's what.
But you
put it on
you
the wheel.
As Haruk, so it was a little bit.
Yeah, that's why, that was where why it was so confusing. Robin and Kiva need a podcast. Akiva's mystery episode. Find out what we're up to. The Bachelor 23 finale wrap up. Everybody was throwing things at their televisions this week as Bachelor Colton wrapped up his saga. They said most frustrating Colton on reality TV in years. Bachelor 23. Yes, wrap up. Is on our Rahapas feed with Amy and Haley. Then News AF. Yes, we talked about how Facebook had some ways to read your mind, and Facebook is down today. Is it all connected? I don't know. But you can still listen to our News AF podcast from this past week. News AF 180 in honor of our friend Coach. Then Carl Boudreau will join me tomorrow night. So I'll be talking with him. You can email your questions, survivor@robhasawebsite.com. If you want to send in some questions from Carl, we'll put up a thread on Twitter, and if Facebook is working, in our patron Facebook group. Brett LaBelle is going to be my guest on the Feedback Show. Pumped up to talk to Brett. We were texting. He's raring to go, talking about his buddy David Wright this season on our Feedback Show this weekend. So be on the lookout for that. Get your feedback questions in as well. Taryn is going to be a guest on the RHAP B&B, coming in on the heels of the First Lady of Podcasting, who was on this past week on with Bloom and Barassi on the B&B. Yeah. And then,
go ahead.
Here, you do this one.
Okay. Well, the latest episode of Why Blank Lost with David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis, they'll be talking all about why Rick Devens lost and was voted out, and you'll want to hear that. It'll be set against David's rules for the game. We'll learn all about what Rick did wrong.
What do you guess? Why did Rick lose?
The world is random and life has no meaning.
Yeah, sad.
Well, that would be my answer every episode.
And then Mary Kwiatkowski will be my guest on People Are Loving This Week in Survivor. We're going to go through everything that Mary is thinking, the week in Survivor social media, and play Jordan Kalish's This Week in Survivor History Quiz coming up later this weekend. So be on the lookout for that. And then Jessica Leese will be my guest on The Wiggle Room coming up. So we will talk about Jess's thoughts on everything here at The Swap, and then get into the week 4 wand off coming up here. So a jam-packed week of Survivor once again, having so much fun this season. robhaswebsite.com/patron for more information about how to become a supporter of Rob as a podcast. Get access to all of the benefits that we have for you, including our secret patron only podcast feed, where we do an additional 2 patron only podcasts a week. What? Yes, that's right. You heard me. robhaswebsite.com/patron for more information. Okay.
Wait, Rob, what is your brand? If David's brand is loyalty, what is your Survivor brand?
Flat? Yeah, probably. I mean, it's I don't know if it converts the podcast.
What would you say to them? What would you say? Like, hey, my brand is
fun.
Fun. Okay, we have a winner.
We're going to keep it fun. We're going to keep it fun. Everybody. I'm not going to win. Come on, let me just have some fun here.
Yeah, let me
I don't get out of the house much. We're going to have fun. We're going to have a lot of fun. Okay. Didn't work out for that great for Tom Green with that, but that's what I'm going for here on the podcast. And luckily, they can't vote me out of this. So, yeah. Steven, by the way, to people who are watching us here live, that Nicole and I, the First Lady of Podcasting, are going to record the Patron 5 for 5 tonight, but I haven't been able to post the question thread in the Facebook group. So if you have something that you want to hear Nicole and I talk about, send me a tweet tonight after the show, and I will get into it with the First Lady of Podcasting on our weekly Patron 5 for 5 podcast. Who got the fishy this week, Steven? This is a tough week, I think.
I thought it was a no-brainer. Wardog got the fishy for making the right decision. I mean, it actually probably should have gone to David, but because like how he's not being targeted is some sort of miracle.
Yeah.
But I gave it to Wardog for making the right choice between Lauren and Devins. As sad as I wasn't the choice I wanted him to make.
I mean, do you think it was like 51-49 for Wardog?
No, I agree with you. I think that he's repeatedly shown that he's super.
I think it was like 92-8.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I'm probably going to stick with Kelly Wentworth. That's what I'll do. I thought maybe he might potentially say like, well, then I could be Kelly Wentworth's number one if I get rid of Lauren. But then, you know, then next week you're heading into a 2-2 split. So it would have made no sense whatsoever. I mean, it's such a no brainer. I mean, I wasn't trying to shade Wardog earlier because may God have mercy on my soul if I was. But it was such a no brainer decision.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty straightforward for Wardog. And if you vote out the ally, you know, if you vote out, it's not like Highlander where you take their powers. If you vote out the ally, you don't then become the ally. You become the enemy.
Hmm. Okay. I've seen it both ways.
Really? I guess actually it has happened where you vote at the ally, you become the better ally. That's actually,
I mean, I don't want to, keep going back to Survivor Cambodia.
No. I'm aware.
Yeah. All right. Steven, great job. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.